All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on
Hello.
when you're listening.
Hey,
This
hey,
is
hey.
your hosts, Scott Kreitzer and Sheldon Joe, and our great friend and guest, Darren Owens.
Woo-hoo. Hey, Darren.
Thanks for having
Welcome.
me.
Awesome to have you, brother. It's been a while.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a while.
It's been a while, a long while, several whiles.
A while and then some.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think for all of us, because we all met in the beautiful Bay Area of California and then have gone our separate ways over the years.
And
And it's
just,
nice.
all kinds of adventures,
Yeah.
I think you've had a bunch of them, haven't you, Darren?
Well, I'm like that spiritual gypsy. It's like I've got to explore everything, and that's where I get a lot of my ideas for my books, is just all these adventures that I've had. And
All the
I
nooks
mean,
and
what else?
crannies. You got to go down all
Yeah,
the alleyways, check them all out.
right. What's that corner over there? So, but what's life for other than exploring? Not just yourself, but just where yourself is going to take you. So it's lots of fun. I think life is thrilling. I do. And I used to think, okay, well, when I hit 40, which I've hit 40, and I'll settle down. And it's like, well, there's just too much of life left to explore. So I still have this gypsy in me. So I'm like, well, that's the way God made me. So there you go.
Just go with it. Run with it.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what
Yeah,
I've loved
absolutely.
about watching your journey. Because when we met you, obviously the Bay Area, and then it was, I think, back to Arkansas, then to LA, then back to Arkansas, right? And then to Virginia Beach, and now back.
Virginia Beach, and Arkansas, it's like this spiritual umbilical cord that just whips me back. I've been trying to leave for years. And then I decided that, nope, Arkansas is supposed to be where I'm rooted. And this past couple of years, I got obsessed with discovering my roots and my spiritual roots and my ancestors and that type of thing. And that opened up a whole door of a spiritual journeying right there too. So I'm now at a place where Arkansas is really my home. So this is where I can, rejuvenate and rest up and then take off again for some exciting
For
adventure.
now.
But I always, for now, but always come back home,
Right?
But that's the thing that, the universe will tell you, if you're constantly coming back to something, then obviously that is something that's for your benefit. Because I used to think, oh boy, let me get me out of here. But I realize now that it's definitely my spiritual root system here, and it's to rejuvenate me. So yeah, I mean, it took me
Beautiful.
several years to figure that out, but I'm glad I did.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's great because I mean, it seems like you've kind of grown and expanded from, I mean, when we met you, because you're still out there as a spiritual teacher, psychic, and author. Just that now, it seems like you've just grown and expanded on all of that.
Well, yeah, because again, there's that public personality to people. They see this spiritual teacher and author, and then there's still this soul named Darren Owens that wants to just explore everything. So, it's kind of these two. Sometimes I would put Darren Owens, the teacher and author, over here on the shelf for a while so I could go over here and do this. But I think it worked out really well because it always gives me more information for people. Whether they're getting a reading from me or I'm teaching a class, it's sharing that information, because somewhere down the line we've all had the same experience on some level. So I think, again, we're all reflections for each other, and it's just exciting. It's really an exciting time in my life. 40 years old, and I'm just thinking I'm 12, so I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we definitely want to talk on the show with the hour that we have about the work that you have done and are doing right now. But we figured we'd start out, because this show is about A Course in Miracles. I mean, Darren, you were really the catalyst for bringing Sheldon and I together, and then this group that was formed. We figured we'd probably start there. But also on the show, we do like to start off with quotes from A Course in Miracles, and so I think we're going to do that first, and then we'll devote the rest of the time to talking with Darren.
Great.
And of course, Darren, if you have your own quote as well, something you might remember, we'll don't want to put you on the
Okay.
spot, but I think we'll start out with Sheldon. Do you have your quote?
Sure. What the heck?
What
Here we
the
go.
heck?
I just flipped the book open. Here we go. I think this is fitting. It says, "Does not a world that seems quite real arise in dreams?" That's it.
That's it. Shortened to the point. I love course quotes like that.
I think Darren will be able to speak about that a lot too.
Yeah. And I picked one I felt too would apply to having Darren on the show. This is from the Song of Prayer, chapter 3, section 4, paragraph 1. "How holy are the healed, for in their sight their brothers share their healing and their love."
Absolutely. And I picked that.
Yeah. I picked that one because to me, like, one of the memories that stands out was watching you, Darren, do your healing when we were all at the Sacred Past bookstore. I mean, to me, that it just blew me away. One, just the amount of people that were there, but also just how you're able to deal with all those people and the experiences that they had when you were doing all of your hands-on healing work.
Right. Which is full circle because I'm coming back to that kind of work again, you know, at this point in my life. And, you know, it's amazing because, again, everything is energy. And you see that in those kind of healing services with the hands-on healing service because you can see, you can actually experience and see the healing taking place within people as they open up. You know, I'm just that catalyst of that Holy Spirit coming through and beginning to correct and change people's thoughts and, you know, releasing any kind of lower vibrational frequency. But you see that. That's what I love about those healing services is that you experience and you see what Spirit can do for you. And even people that had the most closed mind, I love the fact that they actually received some miracles during those years. So, yeah, those were pretty awesome times.
I actually remember I was at one of your it was on Thursday night, right? The course was on Wednesday, and I went to one of your groups. And you were doing, like, I think it was just a closing prayer, right, in circle?
Mm-hmm.
And this was part of the beginning of that whole. But anyway, you're calling, I think it was Archangel Michael, and then, like, literally, it felt like somebody just turned a faucet on in my eyeballs,
yeah.
And tears were streaming down my face. I wasn't getting, like, you know, it was just, like, flow. And I was sitting there, and I think my buddy Sean was with me, and I was like, oh, gee, what's going on? Kind of freaking out.
Right. Yeah.
Like, be cool, but nope. This is something's happening here. I was like, wow. And you were like, drink plenty of water.
Right. Well, you know, and it ties into this new book I'm writing on God's Spirit Community, which is about working with these sort of high-level spiritual beings like the Archangel Michael or the Band of Mercy and these entities to work with us on healing. I think people, when they get into their spiritual path and they start releasing old emotions and all this stuff, they begin to feel really alone. And so they forget sometimes you have an incredible cast of spiritual beings around you just ready to sort of help you and sort of carry you on your path. You're still doing it yourself, but they're there to help you do it. And that's part of the work. That's part of the spiritual healing work is bringing in these spiritual forces.
The Course in Miracles kind of gets, it doesn't really get into that aspect of healing, other than, you know, use of the Holy Spirit, and then it kind of just goes into, and it's all love and it's all one.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of the veil, as you see so clearly, it still has multidimensionality and individuality, and, you know, it seems still separate, right? I mean, there are...
Well, I look at
the
divine and all of these cast of amazing spiritual characters as they all have the same intent for your soul is oneness, returning back to the source, getting rid of all illusion, getting rid of all lower vibrational frequencies, and getting you back to the way God originally intended.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an expression. It's, you know, it's like God's many mansions. It's still one source, but there's all these fractions of light that show up and sort of the guise that you're going to accept too. You know, I think that spirit sort of metabolizes itself and shifts itself so that it can appear to you in the guise that you need for that specific moment to help you get back to the truth. of mm-hmm. who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I look at the archangels. That's how I look at our spiritual guides. They're all on the same team from the same realm of source, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. And their job is to get you back to the way God originally intended and how God created you, which is perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I look at it. It's still the same thing. It's still oneness, but, you know, there's these fractions of light that are all there to help you out.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
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 And the book that you're working on, it looks like you're expecting it to come out around Easter time this year.
We're doing it. Yeah, it's coming out in Easter. I thought that'd be a great time, you know.
Yeah.
Rise of the Christ Consciousness time frame. But it's time for me to write it because I wrote Mysteries of the Supernatural, which is my latest book, and I talk a little bit about the spiritual community and how to pray and invoke those spiritual archetypes into your life. But I've gotten more and more people over the years since the book came out. They want more. They want more on how to do that. So I decided I would go ahead and just self-publish a book specifically on God's spirit community. Because more and more people are having these supernatural experiences. Sometimes they're not so fun, and they need to know that there's a support system around that they can call for. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Mysteries of the Supernatural because I love the book because it is an introduction to all the different levels. And it seemed like, yeah, you could write a book on each one of the chapters that you wrote about and broke out the different realms.
Right.
And it's really,
the different realms of the supernatural. You know, and it was so difficult to try to put all of these experiences I've had into one little book and not terrify people because I've literally had sort of an X-Files life, you know. And so, again, I think it was just God's way of saying, hey, this is the reality that's going on here. You know, and here's the, so I had a taste of each of these different realms, whether it was from an actual, you know, encounter with a Sasquatch to dealing with negative energies or demonic energies. I mean, it just was from one extreme to the other. But it was also a revelation for me to see the different realms of reality that's out there. And that we are always in a position to choose which of those realities we're going to give our energy to, love or fear. That's it. And right. It's funny because the realms go from the darkest of the dark realm all the way to the source, and they both give you that decision, fear or love.
Mm-hmm.
It represents mm-hmm. both extremes. And you have beings that live within those extremes. Isn't that interesting?
So yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
You know, it all ties together in the end, and it all ties to our ability to choose whether we go the dark side or the light side, whether you're mm-hmm. Darth Vader or Luke Skywalker. That's mm-hmm. how it works. You know, there's more truth to that than we really care to really admit, but that's it. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, it's great to have folks like you out there because you kind of literally bring the down-to-earth interpretation mm-hmm. of that break between fear and love because sometimes, like, A Course in Miracles is so high-level and it's so non-dualistic, it's hard to understand how to apply it in, like, your daily life and all the different things you may or may encounter in that fear-based
world. Yeah, we have to have it. You've got to be able to apply this spiritual knowledge in your daily life. If you can't really apply it, then how is it going to work for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. We live on this.
Then you don't really have it.
And you don't have it. And you live in this physical realm. So in order to be a channel of that divine energy, it has to be accessible in your daily life. People have to really understand it. So I've made it my life's mission. Part of it is to make those high-level metaphysical truths, bring them down, and make it available for anybody. You know, and I think I've achieved that. People say that they love the books because it makes it so interesting and easy to understand, and that's the key. It's easy to understand.
Yeah, and I think because of that, I mean, you are on Coast to Coast, and I remember when I was listening to that interview, I was just really blown away by the information that you provided and just how you're able to easily talk about this information. It just, it's really, it's captivating.
Yeah, well, because I think, too, people are ready for that kind of understanding. They're ready to realize that this physical realm is not the only thing that's vibrating around us. And we can't ignore the fact that literally the supernatural veil between here and there is thinning so quickly. And I can't tell you the countless people around the world having experiences with the supernatural. We can't even keep up with what's going on. Mm-hmm. And like I tell people, just as much as we're wanting to peer beyond the veil, they are also peering back at us. So there's this interest from both sides of the veil right now, because we have these interdimensional beings and spiritual beings and hauntings and ghosts. And I mean, literally, all of these inhabitants are beginning to materialize, and people are witnessing and experiencing this. So they got to have some sort of help, because you could be some old, you know, regular Joe out there, and suddenly you've got some sort of ghost and haunting out of nowhere. And, you know, what are you going to do? So that's why I think it's important to have spiritual resources and the spiritual foundation in order to deal with that type of thing.
Right. And of course, you're still working not only in the public, but I'm sure some within your private sessions. Like, what are you seeing some trends with, like, issues people are having, or things that at least you're helping people with?
Yeah, right now what's going on is my clients are showing a deep need for something more real in their life. They've got the job and the money and the cars and all this, but there's something that's beginning to vibrate within them that's beyond anything they felt before, that has nothing to do with what's in their bank account.
Mm.
And so I'm seeing an upsurge of that. And I'm seeing an upsurge because of this sort of spiritual upwelling. I'm seeing people opening psychically that would never, ever had any clue that they were going to be intuitive, but they're having these psychic experiences, whether it's feeling somebody's energy and realizing, oh, where did this information come from? Why am I, you know, aware of this? So these channels are just opening, which tells me, again, there's a spiritual vibrational fast forward button somewhere that someone's pushing. Because these literally are people that have been so invested in their physical lives, and all of a sudden there's something else going on a spiritual level. I've seen that quite a bit, even more than usual, even in the past. Because usually when I was a baby psychic when I was in my 20s, it's, you know, what about my money? What about my love life and all this? People don't even care about that anymore. It's about, why am I feeling this, and why is this experience happening, and how come I feel like there's something else going on in the world that I'm not quite sure about? It's these deep-seated, why am I here questions that's really beginning to be a snowball effect. So I'm liking what I'm seeing, but it's a lot of spiritual crisis, too. That's why you're seeing people freaking out all over the world.
Right. Yeah.
That's what's happening. You've got, I want you to think of it as if it's, you know, you've got two land masses crashing into each other. You've got, well, of course, in miracles terms, you've got the ego and the spirit, and they're crashing into each other. And that's why you're seeing these people melt down, shooting people up in everywhere you go. It's right. Because there's this spiritual crisis and they don't have the foundation.
Right.
To stand on, to move through it, and that's how fast spirit's moving. That's my opinion.
Yeah, it seems like we're still going through that big shakeup where the last remaining people that were still kind of tied to the old materialistic ways or the masculine paternal ways are just being really shooken up right now, big time.
Right. It's everyone. It's people's foundations that are crumbling. Thank you. They like to talk to me. It's their reality that are literally crumbling before their eyes. See, it's almost as like, you know, you folks have had enough time to get ready for this, but right now we're pushing the fast forward button. So you either go or you don't. And I feel like that's what's going on right now, is these huge catalytic eruptions in sort of the global brain. And it's tragic on one level. I mean, terribly tragic, but if you look at it metaphysically, you begin to really see that we're moving forward as fast as we can, and that none of these souls that were tragically killed or anything, they're not going to die in vain. They are literally helping speed our consciousness up. And I know that's a lot to say, and people will probably send me hate mail, but we have to begin looking at life that way, that these souls sort of gave us the opportunity to speed up. But we all need to change. We all need to be more humanitarian in our viewpoint. And I believe that's what that's all about, because I can't look at life as a victim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's our downfall, especially at this time.
Yeah, because, we've been through a pretty intense cycle, but it's not over by any stretch.
Oh, absolutely not. We got so much more to go through. That's why we, as spiritual beings that are conscious about what's really happening in the world, we got to continue to be strong ourselves and be that reflection for those people around us.
I was going to ask you that about the
people
talk about being and doing. You know, being, love, doing. You know, the balance between doing the inner work, looking at yourself, looking at your own fears, making the choice for love versus fear, but also being in the world and working to shift things. Sometimes people will get caught up in one side or the other, but there's a balance to that, right?
Right. It's all about balance because, I mean, there are days I don't want to hear anyone's problems. I don't want to hear that you are feeling this way or that way, but that's my job is to hear that and be a witness to that person and then help them spiritually move through it. Now, I do take time off when it gets too much, but it's still my job. See, I can't ever get away from this. Trust me. I've tried. It won't work. Because once you take that spiritual dive, there's no going back. You know, there's really no going back. So that's what all of our job is to be a catalyst of divine love on this planet and be that example as much as we possibly can and then put that into action. You know, it's not, what good is it if you're enlightened and sitting over there under the Bodhi tree and not doing anything about it? You got to get out there in the world and you've got to bring that energy into your life and to everybody around you because you're a sacred catalyst for that. See? And that's important. We have to be active now. A lot of us are terrified. It's like, well, you know, I'm just going to sit over here in my little corner and in my little meditation room and just pray to God every day. But that's not doing anything. We have to get out of the foxholes and get out in the trenches and go for it. I think that's the message for us as spiritual beings right now that are conscious, that are light workers, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. That's our message. Be active.
Yeah, and I think that was exactly. I think that was one of the reasons why I like the course, because it's not about, like you were saying, going off in a cave and meditating. It's really about being a spiritual master, but living in the world still physically and being an example of love.
And, you know, I like seeing that out of these big time spiritual teachers, too. You don't see that a lot. You see a lot of talking heads and love and light. And when I was living in Los Angeles, working on some projects, TV projects and such, I went to see Marianne Williamson every Monday night. Because she did a donation-only lecture every Monday night, like clockwork. And I would go see her. And, of course, you know, she's this fabulous, gorgeous woman that comes on stage, talks, of course, in miracles, and we're all in awe. And what surprised me, though, was towards the end of the lecture, she would come down off her stage, off her throne, let's say, and get into the audience, and then she would have everybody pray for this person that would ask a question. And that, I'm like, that's what it's all about. It is putting it into action. You're not just standing up there telling people you need to be conscious. You are getting in there and saying, let's be conscious together. And let's all as a tribe help this one soul that we've come into contact with become conscious too. And I thought, that's what it's all about. That was actually very surprising to me to see that, because you don't see that often. So from that point on, I said, I have got to be more active. So that's when I began to really push myself to do more one-on-one work with people. Because I took, you know, a break there for a couple of years where I didn't do readings anymore. Okay. And I began to realize I'm not doing what I need to. You know, I've got to be active.
Right. So now you're back being active. And I just want to make sure that people understand a way to contact you. So what is the best way for people to contact you, Darren?
They can go to DarrenOwensOfficial.com. I have our office line. They can call us. They can email us. Either way, you'll get a hold of me.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so that's Darren, Darrin, and Owens is Owens, official.com.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can see all of your books, the new book coming out, the writings, your services.
Yeah. I made a point to put a lot of my articles there too, so people could kind of get a grasp of what I talk about, the variety of things that I actually write about and have experienced. So there's quite a bit of information on there just so people can have a background check.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah.
I also wanted to remind, in case there are people listening live right now, that they can call in if you want to ask a question for Darren. That call-in number is 888-627-6008. Excellent. And I wanted to get back to, because you kind of pointed out as you were talking, and it made me picture you, like when you're totally connected and you're channeling spirit, you kind of like do this rocking thing, but yours is always such a clear channel.
How, I do you know, that. I still do that. I
still do that. Yeah.
For it. Yeah.
How know? Long have, and, did you have that as a kid, or how did all that start?
I had that as a kid. They actually, when I would go to bed, I would be rocking back and forth. And of course, they thought, okay, well, you know, over time he'll stop. And I don't know how they got me to stop. But when I began to do more spiritual work in my early 20s and began to do more channeling work, the rocking started. When I do a reading with people, the rocking begins. And I let it happen, because obviously that's the way spirit works with me. And I have no idea what the metaphysical principle behind it is. All I know is I rock back and forth. So, you know, I used to like to pride myself and say, I'm not one of those psychics that shake, rattle, and roll, but I am kind of, you know, I just rock back and forth. And I think it is because when the spirit begins to take over, it always has interesting effects on the physical world, in your physical body. I remember I went to see Della Reese do a gospel concert in Los Angeles. And at towards the end of the concert, her right hand was just shaking. But you could tell it was that spiritual energy coming through her. Mm-hmm. When Ron Roth, who I studied with for a long time, when he would do his spiritual work, he would also have the physical manifestations of either shaking or just this vibration. You could just touch his hand and his body's vibrating. So that's the way spirit works. And I think for some of us that, you know, it's on a different level. But yeah, it's when that spiritual energy interacts with the physical. And we don't know what it's going to do. That's, I guess, the interesting thing about miracles, too, is that we don't know what's going to happen when spirit begins to manifest within the physical realm. It's pretty cool.
It is. And I want to thank you, because you were really the person in my life that kind of healed. I had this issue around Holy Spirit, the word, the thinking about it, but watching how comfortable you were with it and how you channeled it totally healed me of that. I don't know if I've ever told you that or thanked you for that, but because of who you are and what you're doing, it benefited me, but I watched how it also benefited all these people when you're doing your healing sessions.
Well, and Ron Roth helped me to heal myself of that too. I was raised in the Baptist church, so of course I didn't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit and Jesus and all that, you know, because it was such a horrible trauma. But when I began to study with him, and he was a Catholic priest at one time, and they kicked him out because he was healing people, get that. But he said, well, you know, the Holy Spirit's the divine feminine. Look at the early Christian teaching. It's the Sophia. It's the Shekinah. It is the goddess of wisdom. It is the divine feminine aspect of God. And boom, that's what completely transformed everything in my brain. Because when you're growing up under fundamentalism, you have no idea what the Holy Spirit is. They never tell you. It's the Trinity.
Yeah,
but they never
it's a mystery.
Exactly. Right, and I'm looking for the Holy Ghost, right? So I'm looking for a ghost at these revivals when I was a kid. But the divine feminine, it's the feminine aspect of God, the breath of life, that makes all the sense in the world, the creative breath of life. Edgar Cayce said it's the motivating force of God. Now, does that not make all the sense in the world? So the Holy Spirit is the motivator for our soul. So when we call forth the Holy Spirit for healing, because it again is the spirit of wholeness. It is the balancer. It is the comforter. So when we call that energy in, it begins to correct our thinking, it corrects our emotions, it begins to heal our life on so many levels than we could possibly be conscious of. And that's what healed me from any kind of fundamental religious trauma, was understanding this is what the Holy Spirit is. I could actually have a relationship with her. See? So that's what that is. I just love it. That's what healed me. So I'm glad that worked for you, because that was another thing I wanted to do, was heal people, help to heal people from any kind of religious trauma, because nothing hurts me more than to hear people, you know, make cracks about Jesus and, you know, and all this. It's not Jesus. It's the followers of this religion created around Jesus. Yep. And so that's another thing, too. So here, that's why I started a church here. We're beginning to put together our church called the New Age Christian Fellowship. And I want to make a strong bridge between New Age thought and Christianity, because, you know, I'm in the Bible Belt. So instead of being against it, why not work with it, but transform people that still want to be close to Jesus, but in a more authentic way?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. We need a healing here, not in the Bible Belt. Not saying get rid of Jesus. Heck no. We need Jesus. We need the Christ consciousness, but have a better relationship with it.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and that's part of that unity thing that we were talking about at the beginning. And that's part of your work, at least I've seen since meeting you. But I also wanted to get back to the healing thing, because also as you were doing your work, and especially watching how you brought in Holy Spirit and how people took that energy in, I mean, people were literally falling over. I was watching people like just kind of like have jerking motions, right? And they're just processing all of this energy that they accepted in. And I think, you know, you're in your family lineage, it's been part of your family, right?
It is. And see, I went for years never knowing that, you know, I had heard stories about my great-grandfather, James Lothar Chadwick, that he would do strange things. That's kind of what the family would say, and I never really paid much attention to it. But when I started hitting I was 38, 39, I began really asking questions about why am I psychic, because it's not like I see that in my family history. My mom had some sensitivities, but I went further. I began to say, okay, well, they say my great-grandfather did weird things, so I began to investigate that, and I began to ask my mother and my aunt, and you know, who was their grandfather? Why is there such mystery surrounding him? Began to find out that he had the ability to stop blood by using a Bible verse. My brother, back in the early 50s, early 50s, he cut his leg and he was bleeding, and it was a ways to the hospital. This was up in the Ozarks. And my mother immediately went to her grandfather and said, Larry's cut his leg. And all my grandfather did was get up. He took the pipe out of his mouth. He was sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair. Gets up, picks up the Bible, goes into his bedroom, and a few minutes later he comes out and my brother's leg has stopped bleeding and begins to heal itself to the point to where he didn't need stitches. We're talking gash here. You know, you have to have stitches. And so I told my mother, I said, don't you find that interesting? You know, and that was just the way of life for her. But my family, you know, my extended family, they don't want to talk about it because they're all preachers. All his kids are all preachers. So they don't talk about it. They don't like it. And that's when I began to really pay attention to my ancestry and think about, wow, psychic ability, healing ability, it must be truly hereditary on some level. So that was a big journey for me for a couple of years, was exploring what they called mountain folk magic, because that was something very strong in the Ozarks and the Appalachian Mountains, was using Bible verses to do healing. And I began to investigate that, and this is a strong belief system for years and years. You know, it comes over from the European, and it mixed with Native American, and suddenly you had this thing called Appalachian or Ozark folk magic that surrounded itself with using the Bible as prayers, as powerful invocations, either to do healing or to bring health or luck into the home. It was all about the home. you know, to support the family, that type of thing. Okay. So what people would think of would be superstition was actually some spiritual practices going on in the mountains. So that was fascinating to me.
Yeah,
it was a whole
awesome.
New world of energy. So it's no different than somebody, you know, working their verse to bring luck into the home than putting up a vision board with someone who's into the law of attraction. It was the same energy. So we've been doing this for centuries. We've just sort of updated it and kind of wiped it with pink paint to make it look new agey and pretty. But it's the same thing. We have this ability to co-create and to manifest. So it was a whole new world for me, looking into my great-grandfather and his healing ability like that.
Yeah, it sounded like it, because I remember it never came up when I first met you and we were talking, and I found that really mm-hmm. fascinating that you discovered that even at a deeper level.
Yeah, it made me feel like, because I never thought I could really connect with my family, you know, that there wasn't really anything there for me. So it was very healing for me that I actually had these ancestral energy to connect with. It really was good, and it's good for your grounding, too, to kind of know that your ancestors, whether you know them or not, are all rooting for you, see? And that's mm-hmm. another thing, too, I think we've lost is our ability to remember we have ancestors, known and unknown, who love and support us. We've gotten right. away from ancestor reverence, which I think it makes, especially this country, obsessed with life after death. But in cultures where ancestors are revered, they don't worry about it. Have you noticed? They don't right. go to lectures about life after death. You know, they know their ancestors are there. They know that when they cross over that their ancestors will be there to welcome them. So I think we need to get back to a little bit of that. Whether we yeah. know our ancestors or not, we have a generational lineage of spiritual support.
It's like healing yourself and then healing your lineage and then healing
yeah,
society.
Absolutely.
There's like an expansion of that healing energy that goes in, right? All removing all the separation blocks that you do
right.
at first within yourself. And then as you heal, then you start to look at your whole family lineage and you're healing that.
Right. It's a generational healing, but first the healing you have to recognize that you have ancestors. Most of us don't. We want to get away,
right.
you know, from the tribe we're running away from. But it really made me feel more whole that I had an ancestor in my life that also had these abilities.
Yeah.
It really helps. And ever since then, I've been more secure about my work. I don't know how it worked, but that's what happened.
That's awesome. It's beautiful.
Yeah. You know. So, yeah,
I have a teacher, and he said something like, you approach Father, Mother, God through your father and your mother. Because when
right.
you were a child, that's what they represented. It's the same idea, right, that you're talking about. You have to heal through that.
You have to heal through that. So I think Carolyn May said this, too. She says, if, you know, your father and mother were all loving, well, God usually is all loving. If your father and mother were not all loving, then God is vengeful.
Mm-hmm.
We do project mm-hmm. our parental perspectives onto the source. And again, if you wake up one day and you're in a good mood, God's all loving. If you're in a bad mood, God is a vengeful God, you know?
Right.
So again, poor God, we're constantly projecting, you know,
yeah,
our
yeah, exactly.
on the source. Right. And again, we're realizing that we let the source begin to reshape our thinking, even about our spirituality. I tell people all the time, it's not just healing your issues with your family, you have to heal your issues with God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You have to also heal your issues with God and your relationship with God. Because that is, I think, one
For
of the most
sure.
damaging things I've ever seen in a reading is people that are spiritually ill, which means they either hate God or they think God has abandoned them or there is no God for them.
Mm.
And nothing heals unless that is healed. That's what I've seen in my work. Nothing is healed unless their spiritual mind is healed.
And the people that you just talked about, the spiritually ill, are those the folks that you find typically require the spiritual or entity release work that you do?
Yes. A lot of the time it could be because they have a lot of spirit attachments or they, again, have a lot of trauma in their life that has sort of cloaked their ability to see anything spiritual in their life. So it's, you know, a one-on-one case. It depends on who I'm working with. But yeah, it has a lot to do with bringing that spiritual illness. There's a lot of negativity in their auric field, or their sphere of influence, I like to call it, that they just have a bunch of junk that needs to be cleared out. It's like the vase that has all the dirt and everything in the bottom. You pour clear water into it, and all that stuff comes to the surface. And that's what happens with these folks that come in that have this sort of spiritual illness in their energy. We do clearings. We do any kind of work we can do to get that off of them so they can begin to see their own light and see that you are connected to something greater. You're not just connected to the debris in your energy field.
Right. I'm just curious, do you have an entity release? It could be recent or in the past that is notable, or you'd like to share?
Okay. I had a client that was a cocaine addict. And he came to me because he had been to 3 different rehabs over 10 years. And he literally had the will he had the will to stop. This was the strange thing. He would go into rehab. He would be fine, totally fine. It wouldn't be a week later till he was back using cocaine again. Mm-hmm. And he said, I feel like somebody's controlling me. It's not the addiction. So we did some regression work with him. In those days, I did regression work. I would use hypnosis to put them under and begin asking if there was anyone else around. Is there anyone else attached here? And there was a friend of his who had died of an overdose some years when he was in his teen years, died of a cocaine overdose, had attached to him, and had been sort of this sort of spiritual parasite. So every time he would get off cocaine, his attachment wanted cocaine.
Wow.
So his will, and it had been so long that he had this spiritual attachment that his will was really just taken over by this spirit. We released the spirit, got him to cross over into the light. A week later, he had zero need or addiction to cocaine. And he's clean to this day.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's what can happen, is that we can be in a state. That's why drugs and that type of thing is very dangerous, because it can open doors for spirit attachment. They love alcoholics and drug users and, you know, all these spirits that are floating around that are still addicts. They haven't crossed over. And so that can happen. You can have, you know, an addiction that can literally be healed by the fact that the spirit is gone. Doctors don't like that, but that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a doctor. I'm just a minister. I do the work that I do. But that was one of, I think, the best cases of healing that I've seen. And I've seen other people, too, that they had a lot of spirit attachments dealing with emotional issues or sexual trauma, that type of thing. And releasing those spiritual attachments brought so much healing. It's like a shower. If you're not taking a shower for a week, you're going to smell, right? And you're going to look gross. And that's what happens to your energy. If you don't clear your energy and clean your energy, too, you're going to have all this vibrational junk hanging around. Even though you can take 2 showers a day, and people are going to be like, "You okay? You're just dim." You've seen those people that just look dim.
Yeah.
All this, and we can self-create our own thought forms. We can actually create a thought form that hangs out in our energy field, because we've given it so much energy. For example, if you thought of people are jerks, and that's all you thought of for 20 years, you carry that energy, and nothing, everything that happens in your life is a reflection of people are jerks.
Right.
And you hear, "Oh, see, I told you they were jerks." Well, yeah, but you've self-created this elemental, if you want to call it that. And that's all you see. So when you clear your energy and you get rid of these thought forms, you have a whole new perspective on things. But you have a choice. You can keep it that way, or you can just draw this energy back to you again. Always choice.
But isn't that thought pattern like an addiction? That's what I find.
It is an addiction. People's thought patterns
are very addictive for them.
Very, very much so. Because those people that, they just love drama. Oh, that's an addiction. And trying to get people over that, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of sessions. Because they feed off of that. They just love stirring the pot with people. Because they don't want to have any kind of self-reflection on their own. It's always something out there. Mm-hmm. Like the victim.
Mm-hmm.
The victim consciousness, too. You know, it's always out there. It's never my fault. It's never something I have to work on.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
I always say that we create our own worst demons than we could ever find. And, you know, that our demons are so far worse at times that we create ourselves. It really is.
Yeah, that's why I think understanding some of the basic metaphysics like the Course, I mean, realizing that you are the projector, then it puts all the responsibility on you for how you're interpreting what you're seeing. But that doesn't mean you don't.
Right. Well, like A Course in Miracles, any legitimate, authentic spiritual text or path, if you're working and bringing that into your energy, that's a clearing too. If you've noticed when people start the Course, heaven breaks loose.
Yeah,
when they first began, right? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Opened up the door. You opened up the vault into the dark.
Exactly.
Stuff.
You're doing your own exorcism. You are exorcising the things that have kept you from God's light. Whether it's thoughts, whether it's entities, whatever it is, you are doing your own exorcism. Because you brought this spiritual text that vibrates to a higher frequency into your sphere of influence. And things begin to happen. You begin to put new thoughts into your system, and the old thoughts begin to be extracted out.
Yep.
And lower vibrational frequencies and energy,
doing that,
right, they're not interested. They don't want to be around somebody working on light and love. You know, they don't. So that's why when someone says the Lord's Prayer and they have shifts that happen, that's like it's almost a formula for rebalancing your chakras even. Any kind of spiritual text you begin to use as a mantra begins to raise your energy field. And when you raise your energy field, lower vibrational frequencies, whether thoughts or entities or whatever, they don't want to be around that. That's how powerful we are.
Yep.
And when I do healing services, that's what it's all about, bringing in the Holy Spirit, that higher vibrational frequency, to begin to loosen anything that's keeping that person from seeing their own light.
Exactly. And one question I do have that I know other people have had is like, especially people that maybe are religious or study the Bible, they might read the Bible a lot, but they still are attacked. From your perspective, why does that happen?
People can get addicted to even spiritual attack. For example, you know, if you see a lot of these movies that center around demonic entities and exorcisms, well, everybody's Catholic. Okay? There's a perspective in the Catholic Church that, you know, exorcism and demons, I'm being attacked. I'm a child of God. I'm being attacked. I'm like, well, you must not be doing something right.
Yeah.
Because as a spiritual being, a child of God, you have complete authority over those lower vibrational frequencies. Now, that's what's missing, is that in sometimes, now, I think the Catholic Church is changing and going in a good direction. Let me say that. I'm very happy about that. But in some organized man-made religion, the idea of you being a powerful soul is slightly erased. So that you're not powerful, but your priest is, and your priest can go to God. Or somebody else can help you out, but you can't.
Right.
I've heard people say, you can't do exorcisms, you don't have the authority through the church. I said, what church? They said, the Catholic Church. I said, well, that puts me even more authority. Because nobody, no man can tell you can't help somebody heal. So you have to look at that, too. That's why people get, quote, attacked. It's because they don't think they're powerful enough to deal with it. Now, I'm not talking about going into the graveyards and invoking all these entities and having, you know, fistfights with them. I'm saying that as a child of God, you have complete authority to keep your home and your family protected. You're a child of the divine. You are created from the source. So why on earth anyone would say you don't have authority to help yourself is beyond me.
I agree. So, and it sounds like we're coming full circle, and this is the work that you're writing about, right, Darren?
This is the work this is what it's all about. Everybody has the ability to call on the Archangel Michael and his legions to help you. Everyone has that ability. Everyone has the ability to say, Holy Spirit, be with me now. Help me change my thoughts about this situation.
That is so powerful. I would love for you to say that again.
Yes. Holy Spirit, be with me now and help me change my thoughts about this situation.
I felt that like right in my heart. I mean, how often do people say that, right?
Right. They forget. They get so wrapped up or they think they need me. Now, sometimes there can be somebody that is so spiritually disabled that, yes, I need to come in and I need to do a healing or an exorcism very quickly to get them back to where they need to be so they can take care of themselves. Sometimes that happens. Absolutely. That's why we're here. But at some point, that soul has got to take up the sword themselves.
Right.
See, it's not my job to constantly be somebody's
crutch.
Nursemaid right. or crutch. So when somebody starts calling me for reading every week, I turn them off. It's like, you know what? You have the resources. I'm going to let you fly on your own. I do a lot of coaching. Now, see, that's different. Coaching people and helping them get to where they need to be is a different story than somebody just wanting a psychic reading every week because they're, what do? I got to get out of bed. Is this a good day to do that? You know, I've had that happen where people won't make a move without calling their psychic. And see that, yet again, you're giving your power over. And I think in organized religion, you give your power to the minister or to the rabbi, but you don't have it.
Right.
That's not what Jesus said. Jesus came along and said, hey, you know what? You can go direct. Hey, Father, you can go direct. You can do as I can do. When did we throw that out?
Right.
See?
Or you'll do greater things than I will. Yeah, it's...
Absolutely. When did we get rid of that?
Yep.
So that yet again, I think, is a new resurgence of this Christed light in people's lives. They're beginning to see Jesus beyond man's religious perspectives of him. I actually, when I do my prayers, believe it or not, I love to say, through the power and in the divine name of Yahshua Yahweh, which is Jesus Christ, the Christ energy connected to God, Yahshua Yahweh. And that's a vibrational frequency mantra, see, that has a whole different level of energy been saying, in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, how many times have we heard that? And we kind of laugh, right? Because it's like, but yet, if you go back and you use the mantric words, Yahshua, Yahweh, that energy comes through. And that's what, and like the Shekinah, instead of just, oh, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the Shekinah. There, you're raising your vibrational frequency up another notch. Using these metric words that change energy. So that's another aspect I want to write about in this book, is using these names of God as mantras. And it totally changes the energy. That's why I've had people ask me, how come if I'm doing an exorcism or you see people doing an exorcism and it fails? Again, there's so many factors to that. But one factor, I think, is we have to be spiritually, our intent has to be spiritually strong. And so if you're throwing the name of Jesus Christ at somebody, at something, God knows what it is, at something, and nothing's working. I often wondered if we used either the divine names of God, like Yahshua Yahweh, would that have something different to do? And I've used that. Instead of saying in the name of Jesus Christ, I began using Yahshua Yahweh, and it has shown results. And people have begun using it in their own mantra work because we're working with energy now. We're working with a mantra. It's not just a name, an English translation that you're throwing at something. You're getting into the meat of the energy. That's why when we say om, you can see that you're changing your energy field. Is this making sense, or am I going off the deep end here?
Completely done. Yeah, especially because you know a lot of this is happening at the mind level, so it needs to be addressed from different perspectives, and different words will hold different power for sure.
Words hold power. Symbol holds power. So when you go back to these ancient Aramaic and Hebrew divine names of God, they weren't just to a name of God. They were a mantra. They were a specialized name for use within energy, to invoke a level of God into our sphere of influence. That's what I'm excited about my work right now, because I was trained in this years ago, but it makes sense to me more now, is using these mantric words in your healing practice.
That is absolutely beautiful. And awesome. We could talk about this for probably another hour, but unfortunately, I think we have about a minute left. So I just for you to remind folks how they can get in contact with you and if you have any upcoming events.
Yes, DarrenOwensOfficial.com is my website. I am going to be in Virginia Beach at the end of February teaching on supernatural discoveries at the Edgar Cayce Foundation. And they're probably going to be sending me out into the field, so I may be close to people's backyards this coming fall and into the spring through the Edgar Cayce Foundation.
That's awesome.
I'll be doing a lot.
Go to your website, they'll be able to see all the upcoming events as you add them. Great.
Absolutely. It's under events, and I'll be doing lots of stuff, of course, in Arkansas, and hopefully, you know, getting out and about next year. Or this year. We're in the new year. Yeah, that's right. So,
Darren, it's been awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Continue on, brother. We love you.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, I love you too. I love you. Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure.
That was great. That was awesome.
Yeah. That was Darren Owens, everybody. You can reach
him at
DarrenOwensOfficial.com. And thanks for joining us on this episode of Course Radio.
Thanks, Darren.